Welcome to Beyond Rent, the property management podcast brought to you by Rent Manager. Each episode, we sit down with an expert to talk industry updates, tech solutions, and top tips for those in the property management space. And now, let's get to the conversation and go Beyond Rent.
Hey everyone, and welcome to Beyond Rent. Today we're going to discuss the financial burden that face many renters and the impact that it has on them. Karai from Zenbase is our guest, as he's going to help us understand the situation and ways that we can meet their needs in new and different ways. So I'm really excited for today's conversation. Karai, welcome to Beyond Rent.
Hi Joe, thanks for having me here.
Yeah. Thanks for joining me. I'm always interested in different topics and how they impact people. And when we think about economics and financial health, there's a lot of factors. There's a lot that's going on. There's a lot going on in the world and in different countries as they face these. So I'm really interested to hear what you have to say about it, because I think you have a lot of really good insight into these topics, into these ideas. But before we get into the actual topic, I want to make sure our audience knows you a little bit better. So go ahead and introduce yourself. Tell us who you're with and what you do there.
Yeah, sure. So I've been building software, been kind of partner in the technology space in the Silicon Valley ecosystem. And then at some point I found myself specifically focused on fintech dedicated for people who are living paycheck to paycheck, and creating products there, working with large institutions like Comcast and Amazon's for their kind of workers, trying to create good financial services for them. And then stumble upon this huge problem with rent affordability and issues around kind of how expensive the world is when people have very little when they're poor, and decided to kind of start Zenbase. And with that, it's always been kind of our focus to kind of design rent payments for financial health.
That's wonderful. And you're absolutely right. There are a lot of struggles out there. People trying to figure out how to make ends meet. Housing costs going up, and I'm sure we'll talk about all of these things. So how long have you been building Zenbase? When did that first get established?
Yeah, so we are in our fourth year. So we've been kind of building the company since we first started with first problem we identified, which is about 50% of the renters are spending more than 30% of their income on rent. And if you think about it, 95% or more people are getting paid multiple times during the month. So what does that mean? That means that they're using their last paycheck or last few kind of pay stubs to make their rent payments. But when something happens, let's say the car breaks down, they need to replace their tires, or there's a funeral, or there's an unexpected healthcare kind of cost, they're late. And it's really, really expensive to be late on the rent payment. So this whole cash flow issue, given how fragmented the financial system is today across the board, and how, I would say, uneven it is for people who are living paycheck to paycheck, kind of drove this need. And we said, okay, let's focus on, as a first problem of our company, to figure out how we can help people stay on top of and on time with their rent payments. And then once we started working on it, we realized this huge need for tens of millions of people who are credit underserved and uncertain. In fact, that's one of the kind of underlying problems with the financial system today, that if you were to go to a neighborhood bank, a regular bank, they would only look at your credit score. They don't know anything else about you. So if you had the wrong footing at some point, let's say you didn't have anything to show other than your credit score, you don't qualify most of the good products. In fact, what you get is bad products. Like savings accounts, they don't give you proper yields. Or if you need some emergency loan, they are not available to you. So that's why people are pushed to payday lenders. And so at least what we could do for the last kind of 5 to 10 years, allow people to report their rent payments and come up with like clever ways to help people build their credit. And with that, continue improving not just the household budget with flexible rent payments, but also their credit health, which would give them access to better financial products.
Yeah, that is a great, I guess, synopsis and recap of kind of what you're focused on. And what I want to point out too is, like you said, you started this 4 years ago, and we've been dealing with a lot of these things for a much longer amount of time. But when I look at kind of the landscape of what is out there as far as technology and offerings, there is more and more offerings out there, because I think the pain that exists with a lot of these renters is more obvious than ever, and it's a bigger problem than ever. And I think we're finally getting to a point in our industry where we want to address these in really, effective ways. I want to say creative as well, that we're rethinking how some of these products can work. So let's talk a little bit about that financial health piece. So what kind of insights can you provide? You shared a few stats already, but what kind of insights can you share about the financial health of the average renter, the average American, the average person that's out there? What do things look like for the average person?
Yeah, I mean, when we talk about financial health, there are kind of couple of core pillars that are accepted as this is what defines financial health. And those are typically the amount of debt someone has and savings that are available, credit that they have. And then when you go look into their spending ratio, you basically look at what are the biggest line items. And that's where you land on certainly the housing cost, which has been increasing. It's not been keeping up with the wage growth. And therefore, we're seeing people who are, as mentioned, spending more than 30% of their income on rent. And there's a word for it. It's called rent burdened. When people are spending more than 30% of their rent, of their income on rent. And certainly the professionals in the real estate, in the residential space, they remember those days where they would never accept people who have 30% ratio, as in they're spending 30% of their income on rent. But that started becoming more of a reality now. They have to. So you're even seeing people being accepted with like 40% threshold in a lot of cases. And doesn't matter how much money they make. And that's the most interesting part. There are people who are making $100,000 and they need these services. There are people who are working at some call center making $40,000 a year, $30,000 a year in some states. And they need these services. So it is really cutting across the entire spectrum. And the one key data point is about 65% of Americans, and in fact, I would say anyone in North America, including Canada, they are living paycheck to paycheck. That means they don't necessarily have much to save. They don't have a rainy day fund that they can dip into. And on average, they have about $500 to $800 in their checking account.
Those are some really good bits of information to really focus in on as far as like, what does it really look like for the average person out there? And again, we're saying average person, right? So there are people with less and more, and we understand that. But the fact that these are the people that are living in our apartments, they're living in our homes, are the ones that are the renters. And if they're living in places where you said in excess sometimes of 40% of their income is going towards rent, I can only imagine that they are living paycheck to paycheck, right? Because they're not able to really get ahead of the situation there. Now, in another stat you just threw out there, 65%, you said, are paycheck to paycheck. So when I've heard that term before, how do we really define paycheck to paycheck? Is it kind of monitoring that cash flow? Is it the amount that they hold in their checking and savings that kind of determine what it really means to be paycheck to paycheck?
Yeah. So in very simple terms, after they spend all their necessary spending, they don't have any money left to put into some rainy day fund. So whatever comes just goes. And as you can imagine, when that happens, it starts becoming very hard to predict things and plan for things. I don't know if you remember, like 10 years ago or 15 years ago, there's this whole trend with mobile apps where we had first mobile phones. Everybody was getting some personal finance kind of management tool. They would just connect their bank accounts and budget and everything. I mean, they never worked. And they were all great in the beginning, but just never worked. Mike Tyson, I think it was, who said at one time, everybody's got a plan until they got punched in the face. That's what happens to a lot of these people. You have something that happens that puts you in a bind, and all of a sudden you are falling behind. And we looked really deep into it as to what are the implications of falling behind. And that has actually two factors of it. One is the financial stress you're dealing with, which is making the ends meet, making sure that you're not basically late on your required payments, the necessities, right? And the other piece is the whole mental burden you're dealing with. I mean, financial stress is one of the main causes of health in our day and age. And housing insecurity, in which basically this is caused by someone not being able to afford their rent on the first of the month, is also a huge factor that takes a kind of a mental toll on people. And I think what we started to realize is, you mentioned something about, you know, it's something being easy to do. And that's what kind of the services in general need to do, make it easy for people to do the right thing, because everybody wants to make their rent payment on time. Everybody wants to kind of build credit. And I think we're now going through this kind of innovative area where we can actually make it easy for people to budget for their rent payments and put it in automation. We can actually give them some breathing room. For instance, that's what flexible rent payments does. By allowing you to kind of align your payments with your paycheck. We can actually make people feel like they are the smartest person in the room, because without lifting their finger and trying their hard, they can build their credit score simply by paying their rent. So I think I'm actually very encouraged to see a lot of people in the kind of industry seeing the solution and embracing them. And, you know, entrepreneurs like ourselves are looking for other ways, if possible, to help people do the right thing for their financial health.
Yeah, that's great. And I love that quote by Mike Tyson. I've heard that many times. And it kind of is funny, right, when you really think about it. But in this context, it's actually very scary, because that punch in the face that we're referring to is life, right? Like you said, it's a car repair. It's a medical issue. It's, you know, a loved one passing, where you have these unexpected expenses. And it would be very, very easy to say, well, we all know life is going to happen, so we all have to prepare for it. But the reality is we've all been there where something does happen and we weren't ready for it, or we weren't expecting it, and our budget just wasn't built in a way to absorb those additional costs in a way that we could continue to survive. And I really appreciate the fact that you're leaning into not only the financial stress that it puts on somebody, but the mental stress that it puts on them, and the insecurity that can create if they're afraid they can't afford rent. And I think that's why people talk about housing so much right now. Yes, we know housing prices have gone up, real estate values have gone up, rent's gone up, all of these things are going up, and it's going up fast, and that's unfortunate in a lot of situations. But a lot of things go up in cost, and we don't talk about it as much because I don't think it has that same impact. It's the same way we talk about food, right? When food costs go up, we all get really nervous because we need housing and we need food to survive. If the cost of internet goes up while we think we need it, we probably could theoretically survive without it. So it is a very sensitive topic to think about. Now, the flexible rent product, it is a relatively new innovation in our industry. So walk us through how that really works for anyone that maybe has heard about it, but they haven't really dug into it a whole lot. Can you tell us how this product really functions and where it really helps people? Because at first glance, you'd say, well, it's not lowering their rent. So how's that helping them financially?
Yeah, for sure. When we're looking at these population who are getting paid more than one time during the month, 95%. So majority of people, they're using typically the last income of the month to make the payment on the first of the month, coming month. What happens is, particularly in the area, in the era of inflation, where everything is becoming more expensive and wages not really catching up, they continue to have this shrinking pie that they have available after they make that big first of the month payment and until when they're getting paid next. Okay. So this is kind of a common scenario for anyone who is, like, let's say, either able to make that first of the month rent payment or not. But still, they're all feeling that a cash crunch nowadays between the first of the month and later whenever they get paid, let's say on the 10th. So this is not just a problem for the rent payment. This is a problem for all the bill payments that are lending in the first week of the month. So that's why people have always been thinking hard around how can I budget better? You know, they're trying to do their best, but with them having so little in between two paychecks, it's just technically becoming impossible. When you have the flexible rent payment that is tied to the actual paycheck life cycle, which is what people typically select because they want to put things on automation in terms of, and they want to become that person. They want to become that smart budgeting person. Then they start having this breathing room in which they are protected against whatever that may happen to them, right? The unexpected expenses and so on and so forth. And they're able to kind of avoid the late fees or NSF fees or anything that could happen because of that cash crunch, right? So today, we're paying less on the overdraft fees, NSF fees, non-sufficient fund fees. So the legislation has been changing and so on and so forth, but we still do $35, $30, whatever. On top of that, then there is the late payments that are charged by the billers themselves, either the landlord or whomever there is, right? So all that adds up. And if you were to kind of compare that versus the rent amount, the percentage is far greater than one pays as a fee to automate their rent payments with flexible rent payments. And I think that's where a lot of residents are seeing how this is helping them from the net dollar value perspective. But also landlords are seeing, and I should share that there are like two types of landlords I've seen when they're looking at this. Some don't care. All they care about is, do I get paid on the first? It eliminates my late payments because that's the kind of big operational impact on the landlords. They don't have to chase people. They don't have to call people. They just get paid on the first and they're good. And then you have the others. Yes, the operation side is good, but I feel like I need to protect my people from bad financial products. So they're feeling more paternalistic, right? They want to vet whatever is being presented to them. And once they realize that indeed this is a budgeting solution that is way better than alternatives for common folk, I'm talking about, let's say they're going to get some super expensive loan, like really high APR, or they're going to use credit cards, right, if available, and which is going to cost 3% just to swipe the card. But on top of that, I mean, the whole incentive of the credit card is for you to build more debt with them because they make most of their money on the unpaid balances, right? So that being kind of presented clearly to the residents that you have now a true budgeting solution for you that allows you to give massive breathing room to your household budget and also present this to the landlords, let's say those who are feeling more paternalistic about this issue, it actually gets appreciated by both parties.
Thanks for breaking that down. Like I said, this is relatively new in our industry to offer this idea of flexible rent. And I think it's really important to understand how that all works and think about the actual monthly cycle that people go through with paying their bills, right? With rent being the biggest chunk and coming out right away. If they have a car loan, there's a good chance it's due within the first 2 weeks of the month. They still have groceries. They still have a cell phone bill. They still have internet. They have all of these things. They have to pay for gas to get to and from work. They have all these other costs that need to happen. And those other people don't care when your rent is due, right? So being choosing between paying your rent on time or paying your car on, like, that's a really tough decision to make. And no matter which one you make, there's going to be a consequence of, like you said, late fees and penalties that pile up along the way. So,
I mean, I don't know if you've ever been, have you ever been overdrafted? I have. And it's a terrible experience. Not just you get all stressed out or whatever, but also your account balance is below zero and it becomes unusable. And it just, imagine for like 3-4 days, you have all these bills lending and your account is not usable. That's a horrible experience.
Well, it absolutely. I mean, I think most of us can say in our early adulthood, right, we probably made some not so great financial decisions and put ourselves in a spot where overdraft happens. And it typically is a like a downward spiral type situation of multiple things causing multiple overdraft fees, multiple late fees. Like you said, then, okay, let's fall back on maybe a credit card with a high interest rate on it. And before you know it, 60 days goes by and you're just so far behind that you can't keep up, right? There's almost no recovery from it. So a tool like this can really set people on the right path. And on top of that, so you're kind of trying to solve two things. One is better budgeting, split up that payment so you have better cash flow, right? So you can keep your cash a little bit longer and kind of spread things out. But then also talk about the rent reporting side, because you hit on that earlier about like these good and bad financial products that are out there. And when you have not so great credit, you tend to get offered financial products that really are not good for you.
Yeah, still there. I mean, the rent reporting as a concept has been around in the US maybe for 10 years or so. Still, the coverage is, let's say, 10%. And the government is in different states. They are trying to make it at least providing the option, make it mandatory. This is really just to get to what you're describing, people who are invisible to the system, to help them make, you know, be visible and therefore get access to good financial products. Like not everybody has had the option to receive good financial education. In fact, most people never did. And therefore make mistakes, something happens and they're behind, and or they're so afraid of making mistakes, they never get a credit card, right? This is the first thing they tell you: get a credit card, get a loan, build your credit. Some people are not, they are not aware of it. So with that, this just becomes the most natural way of building credit. But also, there are two kind of, I would say, ways of building credit. One of them is rent reporting, which is essentially these services are looking at what's in the PMS system, regardless of how the rent is paid, reporting those to the credit bureaus, which, you know, builds credit. We can go look back all the way 24 months and report past history too. So all that really helps people improve their credit, particularly if they're what they call the thin credit, which is they don't have a lot to show. They don't have many accounts, they don't have many history, but it's really effective for them and those who have no credit, basically. But then when you combine that also with flexible rent payment solutions, typically come with a line of credit component. And that line of credit component also increases this is a bit technical now, utilization is low because it's paid during the month itself, but the credit available is high. So overall, someone's credit starts looking immediately better because you have more credit available if someone looks at it, but utilization is low. And on top of that, with the rent reporting, you have way more payment history in the report itself. And if you kind of zoom out and look at, okay, what are the key factors of kind of people improving their credit, it's about the number of accounts they have and the diversity of such, which is what you get with rent reporting at a brand new trade line and brand new line of credit. It's about the number of payments. You get so many payments coming, including the 24-month history. And on top of that, you get the successful payments. I mean, this is the lifeline for a lot of people, their rent payments. So they are prioritizing that more than anything. And it's basically has this nice kind of effect, flywheel effect, where it's encouraging people because they're getting these, you know, high fives and whatnot from these services, but for making the on-time payments and improving their credit. So they want to do it more and more. So there's interesting gamification of that too, because people see they want to be more on time and sorry, timely with their payments. And eventually that behavioral change is happening with these tools being available. And again, making it super easy for people to do the right thing.
Yeah, it's so interesting. And I know people, you kind of mentioned some people aren't really excited or inclined to go out and get a credit card or something like that to build credit. Because that's what you would tell a lot of younger people is like, oh, you don't have credit, you have thin credit, go get a loan, basically get a credit card and that'll help you build it. But if they have witnessed bad financial decisions by family members, friends, they may be very hesitant to do that because they don't want to end up in the same place. And I actually would totally agree with that. I think that makes total sense. But they're given such limited options on how to build credit, they feel like that's the only option, where this is providing them a new way to do it and a really a better way. And let's be honest, a way that we probably should have addressed a long time ago in letting people build credit through paying their rent. And not only are they paying their rent, but if they use flexible rent, now they have the ability to show that they're paying on this line of credit. It's kind of like a little bit of double dipping in this scenario, but it's a great element there. And they're also taking advantage of this idea of understanding cash flow. And one of the things that I learned years ago that was kind of eye-opening to me is just because somebody had a high credit score didn't mean they actually had money. It didn't mean they knew how to manage their money and their cash flow. They could be swimming in debt and actually have a good credit score and not have enough money to actually pay. They were just kind of gaming the system, where putting these two products together kind of teaches them how to do both, right? Manage your cash flow and manage your credit score.
Yeah, that's a fantastic point. It's just overall, behavioral change that happens simply by enabling these systems and putting things on automation. And a lot of the financial behavior change is actually about the core behavior change. You explained a couple of things there, such as people not wanting to get a credit card or loan. If you were to go have these conversations with them and they would say, well, nobody in my family did it, or nobody in my family knew how to do it. So they kind of assume that they're not positioned to do those things either, and reluctant to even appear in the financial system. So having these products in place, embedded in the system, having the landlords behind it kind of articulating the value to the residents, which what I've experienced so far with the product party managers, is at least what they say, is these are super easy problems to describe and products to describe, because those who are working on the field, they know exactly how this goes. They know exactly what these are good for. And for instance, something we do is we give our products free of charge to the property managers, those who are working for them, so that they are the ones who use it and who love it, and they just can't stop talking about it to the residents.
Yeah, that's great. And I think it's great that you put these products in people's hands so they can see and feel them, so they can talk about them. And you're right, the property managers, they talk to people all the time and they hear these stories. They know the struggles that are happening. And I really like the fact that you talked about how people will use their life experiences and the life experiences of those around them to inform them about the future. And it is very generational in that way, right? You know, my family didn't trust credit cards, or, you know, they didn't teach me how to manage my finances, or they didn't teach me about credit scores. And that really can be a hindrance to them embracing new products. And so I do wonder, when you're looking at products like this, what is the adoption or the acceptance or the appetite in the market for these products when they're actually out there? Are you seeing very quick adoption?
Yeah. So, depending on the cohorts, you see different levels of adoption, certainly. I would leave senior living or people close to retirement age aside for a second, because those folks, the boomers or late Generation X, they would pay their rent before they eat, right? So it's a different mindset. But for the other generations, it would be between 10% to 30% flexible rent payments adoption. Rent reporting, we are seeing actually similar adoption for rent reporting as well, but it has to be really well positioned as part of the onboarding flow. Like during the lease up, when someone is moving in, that's where you see a lot of the adoption. You also see good level of adoption during the renewal period. And more and more, these solutions are being embedded into the resident portals. All the PMSs kind of try to kind of embed those into the renter's experience, which are always kind of driving this. One stat I forgot to mention, which I think is interesting, we run annually financial health surveys with our members. One thing that I always want to check, like how do these products make the residents feel about their landlords? And every year, between 80% to 85% of the residents strongly agree with the sentiment that they feel like their landlords care about their financial well-being, which I think from a mental safety and housing security perspective is very important.
Yeah, I can only imagine that number or even that question probably wouldn't even have made sense to people before products like this, right? You don't really connect your financial health and how you feel about your landlord, your property manager, right? Those things don't seem very related until there's products in place that help connect the dots there.
Absolutely. That's exactly what we're seeing. I mean, think about it. You have two, if you are the common folk, right? You have a source of income, your employer, and then you have your housing provider. These are the two most important kind of partners in your life, and you want to feel good about the relationship that you have with them.
Absolutely. Well, Karai, this has been a really insightful conversation. We are coming up to the end of this episode, but I want to make sure you have an opportunity to talk a little bit more about Zenbase. Obviously, we really dug into the nuts and bolts of how these products work and the impact of them, but we don't have to, dance around this. You offer these products, right? So go ahead and tell us a little bit more about Zenbase, how our audience can reach out, contact you to learn more as well.
Yeah, sure. So Zenbase is a Canadian company available across Canada for the Canadian housing providers and their residents. We offer these two solutions, as mentioned, the rent reporting or what we call the credit building products for the renters and the flexible rent payments. We've started the company in Alberta, and over the course of these 4 years, we've expanded across the country. We have partners who have 30,000 apartments, but we have partners who have 100 apartments. So really, regardless of the size of the kind of portfolio, what we've seen, or single family or multifamily, we've seen that landlords and their residents, their communities are really taking advantage of this offering. And a lot of the times, they're also like one of the things we don't really have a sales team. It's mostly our landlords who are talking about Zenbase because we help them build their ESG data. So a lot of the times, the landlords talk about ESG in the context of changing the boiler and so on and so forth and getting EV stations. But the S actually the sustainability, but it's also social, right? So Zenbase really fits into that S, and we kind of boost that S social narrative. And we partner with our landlords to provide them the insight, the data at an aggregate level to help craft that, their narrative and then kind of quantify and show the impact they are making in their communities. So regardless of the size, regardless of the type of the portfolio they have, I would love to meet them and get to know them.
Yeah, that's excellent. Yeah, thanks for giving us all those details on that. And that's probably a whole different topic. Something that people should look into is the ESG side of these products, right? And how it fits in. If that's an initiative that you have that you're focused on, this is definitely one of those products that you definitely want to look into because it fits so well.
Yeah, for sure.
Excellent. Well, I really appreciate
one more thing. One more thing. Right ahead. I would feel bad if I didn't mention this. We talked a lot about the resin kind of benefits. We talked about how it improves the relationship. I just talked about the ESG angle. From the operations standpoint, regardless of the landlord, we've seen 30% plus improvement in late fees. So that means that you are collecting your rent payments super quickly, far quicker than you did in the past, because those who would be late and they would be kind of paying through Zenbase, and you would, as a landlord, get paid in full on the first of the month. So if you get like 5% on average and beyond, then you start seeing really this, this increase of kind of collection speed and reducing the delinquencies by more than 30% over 12 months.
No, that's a huge point to bring up, because when you look at how you operate your business, and especially in property management, it's all about what you're focusing your time on. And if you're no longer focused on collections, what could you be doing with that time, right? How can you focus on the resident experience? How can you focus on the actual property itself? There's all these other things that you could be doing with your time rather than collecting rent, and flexible rent's one of those tools that powers that.
Yeah, yeah, and actual bad debt. That's an important part that we ran a case study with one of our recent partners. They save about 4 hours a month on the administration side of things. And one key aspect they mentioned is they're not focused on those people who are going to pay at some point, right? And this helps them truly focus on the true bad debt, which if you're dealing with, for instance, 30 people and two of them are bad debt, now you're only dealing with that two. The rest are using flexible rent payments to make their payment. So you can really focus on one part of the operations.
Now, that's a great little additional tidbit of information for people. So, well, Karai, thank you so much for your time. To our audience, if you're interested in these products, I highly recommend you look into them. Like I said, rent reporting isn't brand new. Credit building isn't brand new, but it's still new for some people. It's very low adoption in our industry still. Flexible rent still is relatively new. So dig in, learn more. But again, Karai, thanks for your time.
And
to our audience, thanks for joining us as well. And until next time, keep going beyond rent.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Beyond Rent. If you enjoyed this podcast, spread the word on social media and with your peers in the industry. To be notified when more episodes are released, subscribe using your favorite podcast player. Beyond Rent is brought to you by Rent Manager Property Management Software. Learn more about Rent Manager's industry-leading software solutions at rentmanager.com. Until next time, keep going beyond rent.